Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Hello, this is the Brown Briefly podcast and weekly radio show coming to you live from Vachon Island, Washington, in the heart of the Salish Sea, broadcasting live from the beehive of activity we call the Gene Bosch Voice of Vachon Studio in the uptown core of bustling and bodacious Vachon Town, and sweeping the airways of our bountiful and bucolic island community. That was the voice of our founder, Brian Brown. Together, we, the Briefly, strive to keep Brian's brilliant flame alive by bringing you weekly episodes of hopefully intelligent discussion of current events, laced with humor and empathy, and always guided by Brian's mantra of less is more, more or less. Our Briefly panel today does not include our normal flight control board magician, Truman O'Brien, who is in Ashland, Oregon this week, hopefully enjoying some great theater. But running the board today is our legal beagle, mediator, Fulbright scholar, former state attorney, assistant attorney general, constitutional law professor, and I usually call him a Pinkerton goon, but we'll sort of elevate him today to a Pinkerton guard, Craig Bellis.
One of the highest paying jobs I ever had, actually. I had to put in 16-hour days in order to be able to pay my rent.
So. Good to have you, Craig.
Good to be here.
And thanks for running the board for us. Also, our part-time Politico dedicated ferry fixer, Vachon Island Fire and Rescue Commissioner, 1448 star, Executive Director of Vachon Household and full-time shenanigans coordinator, Amy Dreher.
Hey, good morning.
Good to have
you're all UW'd out today,
I know,
Bruce. What's
sort
up?
Of
is
like,
there a
No. It's just sort of it was the only clean clothes I had readily available.
So you cannot contain your fandom.
Exactly, okay. Right. Yeah, exactly. Also, joining us is the voice of Indivisible Vachon and the Vachon Climate Action Group. In addition to chairing this Equity, Social Justice, and Inclusion Committee of the Vachon Maury Island Community Council, mariner, backpacker, rower, electric vehicle owner, and indefatigable defender of democracy, Kevin Jones.
So many ways to get in trouble.
There are. And more coming.
Good to be here.
Starting May 1st, right?
We will talk a little about that.
All right. Good. And I'm historian, among other things, Bruce Holman. And today we have with us three very special guests from the Vachon Heritage Museum. So Greta Stimpson, Executive Director of the Heritage Museum. Welcome to the Briefly.
Thank you. Hello.
And Sue Wynn, who's president of the Museum Heritage Board.
Hello, thanks for having me here.
Good. And Jenny Lewis Marks, the Museum Education Committee.
Hello, Chair. Nice to be here, thank you.
Good to have everybody. So all of these folks help to make the museum an exciting organization, and we'll talk with them more about the museum after we check in with everybody about their week. Craig, what has your week been like?
Well, I had a couple of fun things happen this week. On Friday, Steve Amston had his last Friday of the month theme night, and it was going home because everybody for that show moved from the station, which is almost across the street from us, and moved back to the coop. A young friend of mine, a woman, Claudia Gross Shatter, sang a song together. We did a duet, which was fun. But the music, other than my addition, was marvelous.
And what wasn't marvelous about your addition?
Oh no, it was fine. It was fine. It's always weird though when you when you have a monitor that's supposed to be firing back at you that's not working.
That's right.
So you can't hear yourself.
No.
You have, you know, you're not,
only as echoes.
That's right.
Yeah, right.
You're looking at the faces of the people there, and why are they looking at me askew?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I think if I couldn't hear myself singing, I'd be happier.
You'd
about
be happier
that.
About it.
Just, data that's, point.
Well, I'll tell you, with the amount of pollen in the air, you know, it's just all the time. Everybody was really, really fighting it. The other thing, I went to church. At the O Space.
The other church.
The other church, right.
Right.
The more secular church at O Space, David Gottsby's presentation of church. And it was, it was just marvelous, absolutely hilarious. The music was great and had a wonderful time there with friends.
I was there too. It was great.
It was, wasn't
fabulous,
it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to later this month to going to some sort of gala. Now, one of the main questions I'm going to have for our guests, is it gala or is it gala? You know, so we'll find out.
Well, it's a good question. Ask Greta. Greta, how was your week? And how do you pronounce it? Is it gala or gala?
I say gala, so it's a little bit different.
Oh, I say gala. Maybe it depends on where you grew up.
I have no idea.
Potato, potato, whatever.
I think Greta's right. It's definitely gala.
Gala, yeah.
Well, that's three. Gala, gala, and gala.
Yeah.
No, nobody says gala.
Nobody on Vashon anyway, right? So, Greta, what was your week like?
Oh, my week was great. It was my daughter's fourth birthday, and we used the museum backyard to host the party. So it's a fabulous event space. It's kind of dipping our toes into that water. Oh, sorry, you can't hear me. We're dipping our toe into that water of, renting out the back space for parties and things, and it was such a beautiful, perfect day, and it was really a lovely use of the space back there. I don't know if everybody knows we have that back garden behind the museum, but it's just such a beautiful space to walk through, and there are two eagles nesting in the tall tree in the backyard. It's idyllic. So it was a good week.
Ooh, sounds like it. Amy, how about you? What you been up to?
Yeah, let's see. Well, I reemerged from my illness, so I'm back in fighting form, I guess. We had a few more fast pitch games for the girls, for the VHS girls. Proudly maintained their, I think we're 0-6 now record, but yesterday they we have a perfect record. Yesterday they did great. They had a great game, and just really proud of their attitudes. Man, they just support each other and go out there and have fun, and it's awesome. So, you know, hopefully we'll break our perfect record this season. I don't know if we will, but hopefully we will. And then of course, you know, the weekend, right? So Grillability 10 plus both days. So we fired up the Blackstone, got it all reseasoned for the season, and I think that's it. I mean, still doing a little bit of laying low. I know I saw everything. Man, the VCA gala was going on, and the church was going on. But I will say one thing I was happy to see this week. Josh Farley at Seattle Times, you know, he kind of covers the Fairies beat at the Seattle Times along with Nick Deshays. And Josh came out with a really interesting sort of op-ed that he kind of put out calling for Representative Nance and Senator Leas to come to the table together about this divide around passenger ferries and WSF, and, you know, kind of find a yes and solution. Because yes, we really need to keep our investment in the boats and in the traditional fleet. But man, we got to empower counties to get their own little ferry districts going on so we can, you know, evolve the way that we move people across the water. But really interesting article. And even the comments weren't that bad. Rarely do I direct anyone to the comments section. But there were some interest and some that shed a little bit more light on the history of, you know, the state running the POs and all that. So, but good news, you know, keep that passenger ferry fleet forward.
And Leas pulled an interesting maneuver this legislative session, right, to sort of put a bad language into a bill, and I think you were able to stop it. Is that right?
Last year, for sure, he had tried to kind of silently tried to get rid of the ferry advisory committees, which is the only community input, that formal community input that we have to the ferries. And then this year there was some sturm and drang around. He kind of poison pilled 1923, the PO boat bill this year, just kind of added some stuff to it that was for sure gonna dunk it. So, yeah. Thanks to Josh Farley for calling everyone to the table to try to move us forward.
Good. Well, the Vashon High School girls softball have a way to go. The football team lost 28 consecutive games back in the 50s and 60s. So I think that may be the record for the high school. But
okay, so we got something to aspire to. We've got something to aspire to. Losing a couple seniors this year. So, but we have really great juniors getting ready to step in. And shout out to Lindsay and the Save Our Softball folks, too, for trying to get those girls coming up through the system.
So the curse of the Bambino. maybe passing, right?
Indeed.
We hope, right?
Yeah. Indeed.
So, Sue, how was your week?
Well, my week was not Vashon related, so I don't have anything to pitch. But I spent most of my week down in Oregon in Ashland and visiting my son, which was wonderful, but as I say, not Vashon related. So I'm kind of just now getting back into things here, and I'll be in at the museum more and have more to say that might be of interest.
Did you see some good plays?
I did. I saw two plays. Raisin in the Sun, a venerable 1950s play about a black family written by a woman named Lorraine Hansberry, who was the first black woman to ever produce a play on Broadway. And it was a huge hit, and it was quite a remarkable thing for its time. Got put into school curriculums mm-hmm. all over the country. It really mm-hmm. made a difference, I think, in the civil rights movement. Mm-hmm. And then the other play I saw was a contemporary play, I didn't know a thing about it, called You Are Cordially Invited to the End of the World. It was good. It was a modern production with lots of surreal elements, like people popping out of refrigerators, and really well done.
Fantastic. Sounds good.
Yeah, it was.
So, Kevin, what's your week like? And what's coming up?
I've had a fairly busy week. We're getting the boat ready to go on a journey. So, you know, that's sort of the washing is always exciting because you start out with some green color and you go into the blacks and then the browns and eventually the whites come through. So,
hope.
It's like right. geological, little history all thrown into the same thing. I also went to church. I thought the Robert Kennedy Jr. Solo song was absolutely spectacular. So
it was.
Really much appreciation there for the lampooning. I did my second stint as waitering in my life at the VCA, the fundraiser mm-hmm. there. And that is always such a really, frankly, enjoyable time to have a chance to go and sort of interact with folks that you cross paths with every so often. Sometimes you see good friends there, but it's always sort of like a reunion, you know, of folks that you don't necessarily cross paths with. I will have to say that rowing this morning was quite phenomenal, not quite as smooth and glassy water as a couple of days ago. The front came in, a little bit of rain, but we found shelter and had a great time out there on the water this morning.
Good.
And this Friday, first Friday, May 1st, May Day. There's so many things going on, all wrapped into one. But the Vashon Community Street Band will be at the four-way stop in town at the U.S. Bank corner. And if you've never had a chance to see the Vashon Community Street Band, check it out. 5:30 is when they'll go for about an hour and learn a little bit about the values that Indivisible Vashon brings to May Day and hope you'll join in with that.
And what's going on for May Day? Or do you want to talk about that later?
Well, there are a number of different opportunities to go off island to participate. Generally, the national organization who's organizing says no work, no school, no shopping.
No corporate shopping, right?
Well, we've made an adjustment. Then that's exactly it. Yeah. So, frankly, in the conversations that we've had, and we've been reaching out to island businesses, actually, for about the last 3 or 4 days, And you'll see posters up in their shop windows. And many island businesses are very aligned with the values of a healthy and thriving community and an inclusive democracy. And so we ask people to do a few things. One is to recognize that a lot of income leaves this island when we use corporate credit cards. So we're recommending that people do not do that. We feel a healthy and thriving community includes a business community, an arts community, you know, so many communities here. And really, it's all of us together that's really the most important thing. And so how do we support each other? How do we be resilient, sustainable, and really know each other? So when issues where we need to come together happen, we know who we are. We're not sort of strangers just on this island together. So, yeah, no corporate shopping. Use cash. Write a check. Enjoy town. Also, talking about small business Saturday on May 2nd. So it's another opportunity to go out there and just share the fact that we have a business community that helps us thrive here on this island.
Great. Exciting weekend coming up. So, Jenny, how about you? What's your week been like?
Well, nothing terribly exciting, but I've been trying to pull together a costume for the gala, a bit more of a plug for us there. And so obviously a trip to Granny's, naturally. But I get out the sewing machine that, you know, is bound to work, even though I haven't used it for months, and discover that somehow something's not quite right. So I try all my friends, and then I realise, of course, we've got Fix It on Vashon, and it's coming up in a couple of weeks. So a nice plug for them. Last time I took my sewing machine there, they took one look at it and said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, and they kind of blessed it, and I came away and it worked. So I'm hoping the same thing's going to happen this time, but that's my intention anyway.
So, advice for islanders, bring your non-working devices and ask for the blessing, and yes, that should do it, right?
It'll do it.
I'm curious, I think we all detect somewhat of a great British accent.
Who is that? Yes.
Do you have clothes
connection
in your closet from the Austin Powers era of the 1970s, I guess, which is the theme?
Oh, I'm going for ABBA, which Sue tells me she doesn't know who I'm talking about. So
there
we go.
I have to admit to Jenny that I tuned out of pop music when I went back to the land in 1970 and didn't have any media. So I'm very ignorant.
Well, if you hum a few tunes, I'm sure you'd recognize them right away.
Okay.
All right. My week was kind of quiet, but like Kevin, my boat gets launched tomorrow in Port Townsend. And after more than several months on the hard, and so going up tomorrow, get in the water, make sure all the systems are working, and then Thursday, you know, a run down from Port Townsend, and looking for a perfect run because the tide changes at Port Townsend right about 6 a.m., and it's a tremendous push in for the next 10, 11 hours. So it'll be a ride, hopefully a quick ride down the Sound. So eager to get the boat back on Vashon and do what Kevin's doing, get the green off to all the other sort of color combinations that it takes to get it looking spick and span again.
This does mean I have to be much more careful when I come into my slip now, you know?
It does. Kevin and I share a slip. we share a double slip, and so there's no finger between us. So when you come in, you have to be very cautious.
Absolutely.
And, of course, I'll have a bow thruster now, which will be a big addition to handling the boat. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see how that works.
Fancy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so ka-ching, 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 as they say, right? Yeah, so let's take a minute and look at what hope and inspiration we can conjure up from history. Today is April 28th. It is National Superhero Day. So get your superhero costumes out. It's also National Blueberry Pie Day and Global Pay It Forward Day. So something we should all be doing all the time, right?
It's funny, it's National Blueberry Pie Day because blueberries are not...
Not in season. Yet. No. Not nowhere I know.
Can't go home and make a blueberry
maybe,
pie.
Maybe in Chile, but...
What they want you to do is use your, like, cans, right? Like what you've maybe right. clear out that freezer in anticipation of the next season.
Okay.
Yeah, good. I'm going to think like a marketing executive yes, right, exactly. there and right. say, yeah, right. get that out of your freezer.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, April 28th, 1770, James Cook landed at Botany Bay and sort of begins the Australian adventure. You know, just 9 years later, or 19 years later, 1789, Fletcher Christian leads a mutiny on HMS Bounty against Captain William Bligh. And that's a fascinating story. They put Bligh and I think, what about 16, 17 of the other crew members who did not want a mutiny into a longboat, you know, about a, what, an 18, 20-foot longboat. And they rowed from Tahiti, basically, to Australia and were rescued, basically. And then Bligh comes back as the governor of Australia a few years later, and there's another mutiny against him, and they send him back to England. It's called the Rum Rebellion. So Mr. Bligh was not the guy not the guy you wanted to lead your expeditions by any means.
I hear he's quite the cartographer, but maybe he just should have stayed in that lane.
Yeah, exactly. Not the leader we look toward, yes. Also in 1847, I thought this was interesting, George B. Vashon becomes the first African-American to enter the New York State Bar Association. Vashon, the Vashon name, not only for Vashon Island, but is a prominent African-American family in New York and then later in St. Louis. And there's two Vashon High Schools. There's a Vashon High School in St. Louis that's named after the African-American Vashon family from St. Louis.
Do you know what their mascot is?
Not on the top of my head. I've looked it up before.
All right.
It's not a pirate.
No? Oh, all right.
But no. So I just thought that was an interesting little side note. And then in 1996, in Australia, Tasmania, the Port Arthur Massacre, 35 people killed, the largest sort of mass killing in Australia ever. And what resulted is the Australian government basically banned most firearms without serious kind of permits and controls by the authorities. And so it's a model of what can happen, you know, when mass shootings occur.
What a logical response to that.
Yeah. I know, amazing. Wow. Those Australians That's seem phenomenal. To have it together sometimes. And then in 2019... Avengers Endgame, you know, the superhero movie, earned $1.2 billion on its opening worldwide and so became the first movie to ever earn over $1 billion in its opening. Now, what does that tell you?
It tells you that Scarlett Johansson's a big draw.
A big draw, among other things, right? Yes, right. So... Let's switch to our small talk and talk with Greta, Sue, and Jenny a bit. But first, will you each take just a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background, and about your Vashon origin story? On Vashon, we're always interested in how did you get to Vashon? So let's start with Greta and Sue and then Jenny. So Greta, tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I think I've told the story here before, so... I'll go through it quickly and pass it on to someone who has a more magical, fresh story to tell. Yeah, so I basically moved here with my husband when he got the job as a director of camping at Camp Sealth. And then it was like magic. The job at the museum opened up, and here we are. Also, forgot to say earlier, wanted to make one more plug. The Vashon Rep is doing a Plays in a Snap, a play reading series at Snapdragon this weekend, which I will be reading two plays in that. So if you want just like a fun, low-key theater experience, check that out. So that's what I'm going to say instead of an origin story.
Sounds good. Sue, how about you? What got you to Vashon, and what do you do
what
here?
What got me to Vashon basically is my daughter. She moved here with her family in about 1995.
I lived in California with my husband and then moved up to Oregon. And then in 2017, we decided we needed to let go of our big, beautiful, but high-maintenance Oregon farm. And Vashon was kind of a logical place to land. We'd made friends here visiting over the years with my daughter and her husband. And I've always been envious of people who lived on Vashon, and I thought, I want to do that. So I moved up. We moved up and built a house and now live on a little family compound with my daughter and her husband and my two adult grandkids, and their wonderful spouses have moved across the street. So we have a genuine family gathering, which is really, I feel very lucky and really, really happy to live on such a great, beautiful spot with this wonderful community of people.
Mm. Oh, great. Now, Jenny, how did you get from England to here? And we all want to hear the romantic story of that happened.
Well, the story begins in Antarctica, obviously.
Obviously, right?
Yeah. So I treated myself for my 70th birthday to an Antarctic cruise. I paid a lot of money and planned it a year ahead. A guy on Vashon waited and found a cheap excursion to Antarctica, and we were on the same boat. So we realised we had a lot in common. We became good friends. When the cruise ended, we decided to meet up for holidays and to visit each other's homes, and the friendship became more than a friendship. Need I say more? Romantic, is that what you were suggesting?
Okay. Well, tell us more.
It turned out it became a romance. And then it would have been March 2020, after a few years of knowing each other, I came over here for a seven-week holiday, or so I thought. But while I'm in the queue waiting to get on the plane, I'm hearing Americans say, Trump's going to close the border. I won't try and do an American accent and embarrass myself. Trump's closing the border. Yes, he's definitely going to. I'm thinking, well, I know about COVID, but what are they talking about? I made it here, and when I got here, 2 days later, he did close the border. So if I had randomly booked that flight here a week later, I wouldn't have got here. So here I am on Vashon. The time goes by. It gets to the time when my ESTA visa finishes. So I ring up border control thinking, well, I'm bound to get, you know, and it's COVID, so I can't really go home. So is it all right if I stay a bit longer? Now I'm going to do my American accent. You can go home. You go home. You don't get to stay in America just because you want to. Well, I was just about in tears at the end of that. So, yeah, my feelings about ICE are not good. So then we contacted an attorney and said, you know, what's the position? And she said, well, the only way you'll get to stay in America is if you get a green card, and the only way you'll get a green card is if you get married. So we spent a weekend circling around each other and looking at each other and thinking about this. And then we said, oh, what the hell, go on, let's get married. So we saved the family a lot of money, particularly mine, because we had a Zoom wedding, so that was fine. No travelling expenses in somebody's garden in Seattle. And then, of course, I really was trapped here, and we put in for the green card, and here I still was. So I arrived with a suitcase for a few weeks' holiday, and that suitcase has to last me for about 2 years. Then I finally get to leave, and now I'm applying for American citizenship. So, yeah. Oh,
wow. You can vote.
Yeah, yes. Yes. So that's the story. Well, and then I should say, and the rest is history, which brings us back to the museum, I guess.
I guess it does. what a great romantic story. Thanks for sharing that with us. Wow.
Yeah. So speaking of the museum, Greta, what's coming up? You got a 50th anniversary to celebrate. What should folks look for this year at the museum as you all celebrate?
Yeah, there's so much going on. And some of it I'm going to be throwing back over to Jenny, because some of the things we're doing to celebrate our 50 years and, of course, America's 250th involve some tours we're doing with the Vashon Cemetery, which Jenny's going to talk a little bit more about. But then we also have our gala coming up. And that is going to be 1970s themed. And of course, the museum was started in 1976, like so many other incredible organizations,
on Vashon. So it's kind of like a golden age for Vashon. And it's going to be a big celebration of the museum's 50th and, yeah, incredible Vashon in the 1970s, which was just iconic. So, yeah, there's a lot going on. And should I? I'm going to pass it over to Jenny then.
Oof. Where does it go next? Is it me next? Yeah.
Kevin, maybe you can.
Well, I think the segue there is an interest in the education function of the museum and certainly engaging Islanders, right, with the history. So tell us a little bit about how you've managed to do that.
Well, the Education Committee, fantastic small group of people, very committed to things, lots to share and give. So it's been great. And I know that there were people doing education and linking with schools before COVID, and we've kind of picked up the ball and run with it. So we've got lots of connections with school now, Harbour School and Chautauqua, and the kids that get educated at home. All these people have linked with us and had trips to the museum, or we've been in their schools. One of our nicest things that we've got is a Betty Olson box of artifacts for which we've produced information, and we took that to Chautauqua, left it in their library for a while. Lovely things that come from about the year 1900 and are great for kids to be able to handle and do things with. We produced other learning materials. We've done scavenger hunts. We've tried a hunt round town, which hasn't quite worked for us, so we're tweaking that. To do something that will be more direct linked to the children. And of course, we do have talks in the museum, which maybe I should throw the ball back to Greta on that one, which are good for adults to learn more. Is there anything I've missed, Greta?
Well, the cemetery tours.
Well, let's branch into cemetery tours, yes. Well, we're really enjoying these. We did two last year. We've got Sue now mentoring us to up our standards, we're hoping, because we really want to do a good professional job. Cemetery's very pleased that we're entering into this with them. And our next one coming up is on Memorial Day. What we do for anyone who's not been is we have little flags around the cemetery and a different speaker at each point by somebody's grave talking about them, generally about their connection with Vashon. In the case of the Memorial Day event, theirs begins at 11. We have walks around the cemetery at 1 and then at 2:30 that Greta will take people round. And we'll be honouring veterans from five different wars. We haven't been able to cover everybody and everything, but we've got a variety of people with interesting stories to tell about them. And we're honouring their work for the community and the country. We've got a few more that we don't want you to forget later in the year. 4th of July, which Greta did mention, celebrating 250 years of America. Not good for a Brit to be doing this, I feel. But we are celebrating immigration to the US, so that is something that I have an interest in. Yes. And we're doing immigrants from different countries who came to Vashon and what they contributed to the community. Oban, the Japanese festival, we're not quite sure of the date yet, the middle of August, and we'll be doing Japanese graves and trees in the cemetery for that one, which will be a bit of a variation. And then Halloween, Maury Island Cemetery. Now, I could say it'll be a surprising event, a big surprise because we've no idea what we're doing just yet, but it will be good. It will be, promise you, it will be good.
And a lot of people probably don't know that there is a Maury Island Cemetery. Well, so, you know, I mean, there is a small pioneer cemetery right at the top of the hill above Gold Beach that's been there since the 1890s. And so a very interesting, sort of very early cemetery on Vashon that's been sort of eclipsed by the Vashon Cemetery, which is on Cemetery Road, interestingly enough, right?
Yeah. Kevin. Should have lots of ghosts.
Lots of ghosts.
Yes, you know, Susie and I almost bought a house just right adjacent to that. I mean, literally adjacent to the cemetery on Maury Island.
Right.
Yeah, which has a spectacular view of Mount Rainier, by the way. So if you want a great view of the mountain and a tour of history, that's a place to go. But we opted to go to a noisier place. No booze, no screeches of the night, though. So, you know.
not the party spot of Vashon High School
maybe
students.
It could turn into that. I don't know. So you get more cemetery walks going on. Who knows what might happen?
I'm going to change up here a bit. Greta, it's my understanding that last Saturday was Mammoth Moment Family Day at the museum, and that was one of your babies, an innovation that you brought to the museum. What inspired you to start that, and what happened at this last weekend?
Yeah, so Jenny, of course, as Education Committee Chair, has had a lot to do with this too. And we just wanted to bring more children and young families into the museum. It's been shown that people who spend a lot of time in museums as children become regular museum goers in adulthood.
And they're healthier and happier and smarter.
All of those things. All of those things. And, you know, this can start as early as babyhood. So we started this Mammoth Moments Family Days where we do a craft, and Jenny puts together a fabulous scavenger hunt. And now Barbara Gustafson teaches a weaving activity. And you can bring kids as young as babies. We have little toys they can play with, all the way up to high school kids who can come in. They really enjoy the weaving. And they can do the craft while the parents walk around the museum and take things in. Or they can do a scavenger hunt and kind of walk around the museum learning too. And we just want the museum to become more of a third space where people really feel comfortable just popping in and spending time, and it doesn't need to feel too formal. So we hope that the Mammoth Moment Family Days kind of fill that need. And they're every third Saturday of the month.
Now, Mammoth Moment is somewhat of a play on words, is it not? It has two meanings, doesn't it? A very large, important moment.
Yes.
And something else.
Yeah, and Tusky the Mammoth is our mascot, named by an island third grader. And Tusky watches over everything we do.
He's on our wall, and we love him very much.
That's right. That's
right. All right.
So, Sue, there's apparently, right, Senior Center block party planned.
Oh, dear.
So the Senior Center is a very busy place, but what's the block party going to do?
Yes, I sent a note to Bruce this morning saying, I don't know much, if anything, about that. And somebody else really should take that question.
Yeah, I'll talk about that.
Hand over to Greta, no, what can you tell
all right.
us?
No, that's all right. That's sort of me. So yes, the Senior Center is doing a block party for Memorial Day, and we kind of have a nonprofit corridor down Bank Street. So we'll be open earlier than normal during the day, and we'll probably have some things out on the front lawn. And then, of course, we'll be directing people to Jenny's cemetery tour as well. So that's kind of it. And it'll be a good time to check out us and the fire department and the Senior Center. So come on down on Memorial Day. And yeah.
So it's a collaboration.
Yeah, absolutely. We love to collaborate with the Senior Center. Mm-hmm. All the time on everything.
Okay.
So we share our space with them to a degree as well. The Senior Center Book Club meets at the museum, and their Mahjong Club meets at the museum.
Oh, nice.
So we love the Senior Center, and we work very closely with them.
And
Bruce, of course, gives talks on Fridays once a month at the Senior Center, which are really fascinating, and you should check those out as well. What is the next talk?
About the next two talks will be about the history of American movies. So thing I taught at university for a long, long time. So it should be interesting. But you mentioned that sort of Bank Road is this kind of corridor, and it's worth sort of talking about that a little bit. I mean, you've got right at the corner, you've got the Saturday Market, You've got the senior center, and then right next to the senior center, you've got the land trust, and then right next to the land trust, you've got the fire department, and right next to the fire department across the street is more of the fire department, and next to the fire department is the museum, and then down the road a bit, and you hang a left, you get to the Mukai Farm and Garden. So within less than a mile, you've got this incredible sort of concentration of the sort of organization that are at the heart of Vashon in many ways.
Don't forget Vashon Household on Vashon the other side
Household,
of Bangor.
That's right. Yep, it is.
You're right. Yep. We've got like an epicenter.
Exactly. Yeah. Bank Road rules, right?
Yeah. The land trust. Yeah.
I fantasize sidewalks down both sides of the street all the way past the museum to really bring it together.
In one day. So, Greta, this Friday is First Friday, and last month the museum had a very special multi-sensory art show on First Friday. Could you talk a little bit about that and how that went, and then what's planned in the future for First Fridays at the museum?
Absolutely. So that was such a fun collaboration. It was Vashon Youth and Family Services and Orbit Youth Space, and it was totally their show. The kids put together multi-sensory art pieces, so pieces that could be touched or smelled or, you know, were painted with a song in mind and listened to, and they just needed a place to mount their show. And yes, because we want to be a community space, we said they could use our patio to mount it. So they mounted that outdoor show, and it was up for a month. So we just took it down. It was really fun to work with Glory, who runs that program, and they did such a good job. It was really a fun show. So I hope we can do that with them again in the future. I think we will. But it was also our first foray into using that patio space. So we'll be doing that. And then we don't have a First Friday opening coming up for a little while, but our next exhibit, which opens in August, is about the history of Camp Sealth. They have a museum committee that works at camp, and they're incredible, and they know absolutely everything. I mean, their knowledge is like encyclopedic. And one of their volunteers also volunteers at the museum, Mary Alice Sanguinetti, and she literally wrote a book on the history of campfire. And so she's one of the curators of that upcoming exhibit. So First Friday of August, that will be opening, and that's going to be a big one. I think it's going to be great.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's fascinating. The history of Camp Sealth was Camp Sealth had planned a big 100-year celebration and exhibit in 2022, but of course 2022 was the height of COVID, so all that sort of got truncated and canceled, and it didn't happen in the way that Camp Sealth really wanted it to happen. And so the museum has stepped in and providing a space for them to celebrate their 100th and second, I guess it is now, an anniversary, but it'll be a very special exhibit. Camp Sealth been on the island since 1922, and so it's just, again, one of those collaborative things that the museum can do with other island organizations. So thank you, Greta.
Yeah, they can celebrate their 111th birthday.
Right.
Yeah. In true Shire style. Yeah. All right. So, Jenny, I'm, you know, obviously a little bit fascinated with the cemetery tours, mm-hmm. and I feel we got a good glimpse of them, but I want to dive a little deeper and ask some more questions. So, and you may not be the person to answer them, but you could just guess wildly and speculate if you
want.
Absolutely.
In England, we call that blagging. So that's what I shall.
Blagging?
Blagging.
Okay.
You make something up and do the best you can. Yeah.
We do that with words here on The Brown Briefly every once in a while.
Occasionally.
Yeah, occasionally. We make our own new words. So the Vashon Cemetery, right? Does it predate the Maury Island Cemetery or?
No, it's after the Maury Island one. I'm trying to think of the start date. It's 20-something?
No, the Vashon Cemetery was incorporated in the 1890s, I believe. Mm-hmm. But I think Maury Cemetery was before that. That's an interesting question, mm-hmm. but I think Maury's before that.
Mm. Okay. So for Memorial Day coming up, the cemetery walk kind of, you know, speaks to itself. But how did you go about selecting? I mean, there, you know, when you look at some of the graves on Vashon, you just look at these names. And so how do you go about selecting who you might feature?
I mean, there are various ways. First of all, the cemetery has a list of who's buried there. So that's, you know, you check that out if you think some. Then we moved on to different wars and who could we find. And we have very good research materials and lots of really good researchers at the museum who have helped us. So each person who thinks, well, I think I could manage this, chose a war and we tried to research it. It's not easy because obviously people killed in action generally are not buried in our cemetery, and we need a grave to focus on. So a lot of people, we worked on what people who were at war, who did brave things. Well, clearly just going is brave in itself. And then we followed up, what did they do when they came back? I know Bruce led us into thinking about, you know, these folks, very ordinary people, get obliged or volunteer to go to a war, and how does it change them? And how do they come back and just slot right back in and do great things in our community? Mm-hmm. I was very glad to have someone from the Civil War, because the further back in history, being British and having a long, long history, it's quite nice to do someone far back. So I've got a Civil War veteran, mm-hmm. and fascinating to hear what he did when he came to Vashon after the war. But of course we've got Robert Bennetson that we wanted to talk about, because he's wouldn't it be nice to say he's the last veteran to be buried in our cemetery? Wouldn't it be nice to think that this was the end of it for us? But I'm afraid that's not the real world, is it? But someone who knew him well, Lisa Devereaux, is going to talk about him. And then we've got people who've... I know folks did research on Vietnam folks, and were quite tearful reading the things that happened. The First World War, we've got someone who won the first Purple Heart on Vashon. And then Second World War, we're trying to make sure that we also celebrate the women who contributed to that. They may not have been on the front line fighting, but as in the Vietnam War, their positions and what they did for the troops and what they did on the home front also needs to be celebrated. Is that helpful?
Yeah, no, fantastic. Just sort of, you know, when you go to a cemetery, there's every patch has a story, right? And every patch tells a different story of the island. So it's curious. I'm excited. These cemetery walks are coming forward, and the Halloween one, man, that you caught my ear with that. So we'll be staying tuned for details. I'm sure Gold Beach will never be the same.
I just want to throw in an appreciation from the point of view of someone who went to the first two cemetery walks. I appreciate, first of all, just how brave the volunteers are. They volunteer to research their person. First, they have to select them, and then they have to stand up there and give a talk to the public. And it's out in the open, and there are competing noises, and they have to make an impression. And I think that's very admirable, that just regular folks who are interested in the history of Vashon get up there and do that. And just to describe what happens, if anybody out there is interested in coming, you show up at the cemetery, Greta, someone from the museum, meets you, and then you troop around to the five or six different grave sites, and at each site you will find one of these brave volunteers ready to tell you the story of the person who is buried there. So it gives a little history. It points out that, as you just said, Amy, every grave has a story, all those hundreds and hundreds of stories, and it brings them to life. They've started also having a few photos so that as they talk, you can picture the person they're talking about. It's just a really interesting way to get a bit of Vashon history.
And it's amazing when you start to research someone and think about doing a talk, how much you get to care about them. Can't tell you get really involved. It's like, I would really like to have met this person. And, you know, really get very, very wound up in it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, Sue, while you're leaning in there on the on the microphone, you've got this Heritage Museum gala.
I say gala.
Coming up on May 30th, I think at the O Space. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can. I'll give you highlights, and Greta, who's way more involved in the actual planning of it than I am, can pitch in and probably tell you more details. But it's on May 30th, which is later than we usually do it. There were some other galas happening on the island at the end of April, which is our usual time. So we thought, okay, let's go later. So May 30th, a Saturday, Jeff Hoyt, who has, I think, done all of our galas, he'll show photos and make comments about life on Vashon in the 70s. It's a sit-down dinner. This time it will be catered by the hardware store. And I think the wait group will be drama kids from the high school.
Future Business Leaders of America.
Oh, it changed. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. There will be live music. The band is the Croakers. And then there will also be a disc jockey for later for dancing as well, I think, right?
DJ Prince Voltaire of Voice of Vashon fame, he'll be actually doing the cocktail hour and some in-between things, providing those vibes. And then Croaker will be doing the dancing segment.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. We're honoring a couple of people. Are we keeping that secret, or can
no,
we say?
No, in fact, yes, speak of the devil. We're going to be honoring Captain Joseph Webbold, who is... You know, you can't hear him, but he's here right now. And Yvonne Cooperberg. And this is our new Commitment to History Award to honor just how much these folks have contributed to our island's history and preserving it and spreading the word. And you really just cannot say enough about how much they've done. And so Bruce will be recognizing Captain Joe, and Susan Martin, our vice president, will be recognizing Yvonne Cooperberg. So yeah, coming out to celebrate these incredible, incredible people who I'm just so honored and happy to get to recognize at the gala.
Well, and also, I mean, talk about costumes. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have my Cher costume ready. So you can come as a disco person, a punk rocker. You can come as a back to the land hippie, or a farmer who hates back to the land hippies on Vashon. There's, you know, it's really endless, the options. So 70s should be super fun.
Kevin. Well, this is not necessarily a Vashon thing, but, you know, we are here at the 250th birthday of the country. And Bruce, of course, you're bringing that to Voice of Vashon listeners. But Jenny, the king is here today. The king is in the country. I don't know, Jenny or Bruce, if you want to comment on the symbolic choice of date and what we expect maybe could happen out of the king's visit.
I have to tell you, I'm going to brag a little now. I have the honor of having met the king because I got awarded an MB for some work I do in Uganda. But I have to tell you, he is very good at his job. When you speak to him, it's like there is nobody else in the room, and what you are saying is the most interesting thing you have ever heard. And I think this quality might be well needed for talking to Donald Trump. So I think he's doing a good diplomatic job for the UK. I am not convinced that he will be amazingly pleased to be doing it, but there you go. Will it do any good? Well, Donald Trump's a sucker for people that are in those sort of positions, so... Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get taxes reduced for the UK. Who knows?
I think I heard a reference to The Economist magazine, actually, which is also a British publication.
It certainly is,
about the current president's attraction to pomp and bling.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think maybe that'll be hand in hand with the visit.
Yeah, I'm sure
certainly
so.
The ceremonies. Oh, yes, I think yes. He's quite enamored by all that.
Speaking of pomp and bling... I have a question for Bruce. This morning I was watching a little bit of it on the telly, and there was a piper corps, and they were all dressed in period garb, and they were dressed in red. Now, did the colonists have any red-coated uniforms, or was that a nod to the British?
No, I mean the Continental Army's uniforms were blue.
Normally blue, you know, yeah.
Right? And the Hessians and the British were red. Red coats, you know, yeah. That's where that comes from. So there was a sort of a South Carolina unit that wore red jumpers kind of thing. You know, they also fought in the Civil War called Zouaves, I think is the name, right, after a French fighting unit. And they wore sort of stocking caps and these red sort of blouses. But that was not the typical dress of the Continental Army.
You don't want to be out on the field of battle and have the wrong color uniform.
No. although the accuracy of the weapons at the time was...
That's right.
But the bayonets were just as sharp as ever, so...
That's a deep take. That's a deep cut there in U.S. history for Mr. Holman. But speaking of uniform colors, I did do some... I Googled my way to greatness, and the it's the Vachon Wolverines over in St. Louis, and they have a fantastic crest, and their colors are blue and white. Yeah, so, you know, and their alma mater is Vachon We Love. So there we go. There's our sister school, which have they changed, maybe with the historical folks here, have they changed our alma mater? Because I always remember in the band we played On Wisconsin. That was like our fight song. So does Vachon High School have some kind of alma mater or fight song that is ours?
I don't think so. I mean, there's words that are different than On Wisconsin for the Vachon fight song, but it's that melody.
To the tune of, and
I think it still is.
But, On Wisconsin. Yeah. Okay.
But remember, there were two high schools in Vachon at one time. So, you know, in the 19-teens, Burton had a high school and Vachon had a high school. And they had different team names. They had different colors. And the football games would often end in fisticuffs,
yes,
as you can imagine in a small town. But in the 1930s, they combined it into one high school. And it wasn't until the late sort of 30s that they came up with the colors that they use now. But they didn't come up with the name Pirates until the 1950s. So interesting kind of little history of mascots and songs and colors for Vachon High Schools.
Indeed. I mean, I would never step back into the hot controversy that was somebody requesting we change the mascot. But perhaps with all the creatives we have around here, we could have our own Vachon High School song.
We could. Yeah. But also, I mean, Pirates are not exactly the kind of lovey kind of characters you want to have your high school students emulating, are they?
Well, there's, you know, those lady pirates.
True.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. My mascot at UC Santa Cruz is a banana slug.
In Evergreen State, it's the gooey duck.
Right.
So
uh-huh.
There's lots of possibilities. Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, we are going to make some new history here. That follow it in 50 years at the Vachon Heritage Museum.
Exactly. Yeah. So we're getting down to the end here. We've only got a couple minutes. Greta, Sue, Jenny, anything you want to add about the museum? What are the hours of the museum? If people want to visit the museum, when can they visit? And where is it located?
Wednesday through Sunday, 1 to 4, except for Mammoth Moment Saturdays, family days, when it opens at 10. So stays open all day. Those are something because we had two scripts we were working from, and the question I was actually sort of set to answer had to do with the history of the museum, and I do just want to say one thing from that. Although we officially started 50 years ago with the incorporation in 1976 of the current organization, the origins really go back more than 100 years to the 1890s when old settlers, early settlers who had become older, decided they wanted to husband the history, even 30 or 40 years into it, and they started a pioneer association. And so our current museum organization comes out of that. And it's really sort of interesting to look back on, I think, how seriously those folks took the care of the history, of wanting to keep it and not let it disappear. And there's some wonderful photos. If you go to our website on one of the pages, there's a great photo of a pioneer organization picnic from 1924. And it's rows of mostly pretty old people. One guy has his adorable little dog in his lap. and that at some point segued into by the 1970s and 1976 officially into the Vashon Mori Island Heritage Museum Association, which is the full name of our current organization. And I just kind of want to give a shout out to 100 years of people on Vashon caring about their history.
Great.
And I think that's why we have a museum like the one we have today, which is really good, small museum for a community our size. It's impressive.
Great. Thank you. Craig, what's coming up next week?
We've got the great local artist, Pam Ingalls, who's going to have the entire month of May in the galleries at VCA. She's doing a whole series of paintings. I think there's like almost 75 of them, of island musicians. So it should be something.
Should be good. Looking forward to it. So for Truman in absentia, for Craig, Kevin, Amy, Greta, Sue, Jenny, and Bruce, we thank you for listening. We'll see you again next week on The Brown Briefly.